Good afternoon again. Today we are continuing with our study from the book of John, so I invite you to go in your Bibles or bulletins in John chapter 1. We're reading today verses 29 through 34. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. This is the Word of God. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have in front of us your revelation, your word. You are the one who inspired John and many others to speak the words that you wanted them to say to your church, to your people, through generations. And we thank you that you have baptized us with the Holy Spirit, that you have given us the Holy Spirit, that you have given us new life in Christ. And because of that, we can understand spiritual things. We pray, Lord, that you will empower us with the Holy Spirit today to read and look at these words, this passage, and know Jesus more and more. That you will help us, that as we meditate on these verses, that as the result of that, we will praise, glorify our Lord Jesus, and love Jesus more than anything else in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How long does it take for you to get to know a person? How long does it take for you to interact with a person and to say, "Well, now I know this person"? You might say maybe 6 months. Maybe that's too short. Maybe a year. Maybe 2 years. I would say, even from the experience of being married, that you continue to get to know the person that is your spouse, I think that for the rest of your life. That little by little you learn something new, and you keep learning new things about that person that is your spouse. And I think I'm being only married 20-something years. My wife might be upset that I say something because I keep forgetting the something part. But I would say that you continue to learn. And I think that that's no strange, because even we ourselves get to know ourselves through the rest of our life. We continue to discover and understand things about us, about our problems, about our brokenness, and about our needs through the rest of our lives. And if that's the case for getting to know people and getting to know ourselves, how about getting to know Jesus, who is eternal? It takes our whole life to get to know Jesus. I'm not talking about getting to know about Jesus or learning only Jesus' lessons, which are very important for our faith, his teachings, the doctrines, the things that he teaches to us. But I'm talking about getting to know him as a person. and talking about getting into a relationship with Christ. It takes our whole life. And that's good. That's why we always look forward to reading God's Word, doing our devotionals, going to a Bible study, coming together to worship and hear the message of the gospel preached to us again and again, because what is happening at the end is that we are getting to know Jesus more and more. And when you get to know Jesus more and more, that changes your life. Jesus changes your life. Sometimes when you get to know somebody, you end being disappointed, right? You might think at the end, well, that person is great. And then little by little, you start to know some things about this person, and then you are disappointed about things that you learned that you didn't know at the beginning. But that never happened with Jesus. Jesus will never disappoint you. You will only learn wonderful and good things about Jesus. This is why, again, we look forward to learn more and more and to get to know Jesus. Not just to learn about Jesus, but to get to know Jesus. That's the journey of our sanctification. Our sanctification is us knowing Jesus so that Jesus is reshaping our souls so we live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, because we know Jesus more. Because we love Jesus. Because knowing Jesus has moved us to worship Jesus and to have him as the most important person in our lives. So that's my hope. Not just for today, but as we continue studying this gospel, the gospel of John, that we will be knowing Jesus more. And as a result of that, we will love Jesus more. And as a result of that, we will praise Jesus. We will give thanks to Jesus, and we will glorify his name because we know him more and more. And that's what John, the evangelist, and John, the Baptist, are doing together at the beginning of this letter. They are basically helping us to know Jesus more. They partnered together at the beginning of this letter. I'm not saying that they got together and let's write something together. But in different ways, they are revealing Jesus to us at the beginning of this letter. And later, when John is left behind, John the Baptist, John the Evangelist continue to helping us to know Jesus more and more. That's what we have seen so far in the first 28 verses, is the interaction of John the Evangelist and John the Baptist helping us to know Jesus more and more. So let's think about some of the things that we have learned so far. Few things, because there are so many things that we have learned so far in the first 28 verses of this book. John the Evangelist tell us that Jesus was in the beginning, meaning that Jesus existed before anything that exists right now, that Jesus is eternal, that Jesus has no beginning because he was in the beginning, and that Jesus who was in the beginning was with God, which means that he is a person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, and he was in the beginning before everything was created with God, in communion with God. From eternity till eternity, Jesus is with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit from the beginning. And John tells us as well, John the Evangelist, that Jesus was God, that Jesus is divine, that he was not just in fellowship with God from the beginning, but that Jesus is God himself. And if you continue reading in those verses, verses 1 through 28, you read in verse 14 that Jesus became flesh. You see, Jesus was in eternity. Jesus was with God. Jesus, who is God, took flesh. He became a human being. He became one of us. And then the question that I will ask, why did he become one of us? Why did he took flesh? Because we know that he was with God in eternity, that he is God. Why did he take this adventure to enter into this world he created? He did it because he came to be the Lamb of God. That's why Jesus took flesh. He took flesh in order to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Think about this. You are from eternity until his incarnation, and John, the evangelist, explained Jesus' mission. Why did he come into this world? He came to be the Lamb of God. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Most likely when he says the next day, he's referring to the day after he was questioned by the committee that came from Jerusalem. If you remember from last week, those who came to ask John if he was the Christ, if he was Elijah, if he was the prophet, to all this he denied and said, "I am just the voice. I'm just coming to tell you about Jesus." Now, if you look at keys from this chapter, think about what John says in verse 31 and what he says in verse 33, which is basically the same. "I myself did not know him." Verse 31. Verse 33. "I myself did not know him." Didn't John, the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, know Jesus? Well, most likely, yes, he knew who he was. And if he was like myself, my best friends growing up were my cousins. And I would go on weekends and play with them. So it's possible that John, the Baptist, and Jesus hang out together when they were growing up. But until this moment that John described here, he knew that Jesus was God saved. God is salvation. That his name got meaning for John. That Jesus was not just his cousin, not just a human being, but he was the one sent by God to save his people. This is why John says that he came to baptize people with water in order to make people in Israel know who Jesus was. He says he might be revealed. He said, "For that purpose I came baptizing with water," verse 31, that he might be revealed to Israel. And if you read in verse 33 also, "But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain in him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" In other words, John is saying, Jesus was revealed to me by God, and I came to reveal Jesus to others. This is what I'm saying. John's the Baptist, and also John's the evangelist, is that we get to know Jesus. Then John says these magnificent words, these beautiful words. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Have you ever thought what could the people around John thought when John said this? Maybe you already thought about that, because maybe you already heard a sermon on that, or you already studied this text. But think for a moment. Those who were around John when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And have you ever thought what maybe John was thinking when he said these words? Well, if those who were around him were people that were in theology and into the Old Testament, they might have thought maybe there is a connection between what John is saying here and Genesis 22. when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And he provided a lamb. He provided the sacrificial offering for God, for himself, in substitution of Isaac. Therefore, Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. But let me tell you, that's a very complex and difficult connection for somebody who is just hearing this expression, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Maybe they thought about the event of Exodus 12, verses 3 to 13, when God asked the Israelites to put blood of lambs in their doorposts, so the angel of death but will pass over their houses, and they will be their firstborn will be spared. But again, you have to be into a lot of theology to understand that it is easier for us after we see the whole picture. In fact, think about what John was thinking when he said those words. Luke chapter 7 verse 20 says that John sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" This is after John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It is because John was in prison, and John was seeing that his future will be that he will be executed. And then he wondered, is he the Lamb of God? Is he the one who is to come? Is he the Savior who is to come? Or shall we look for another? And then he sends disciples to Jesus to ask this question. Why will he wonder this? He may have wondered this because he was expecting that Christ, that anointed one, the Messiah, will come and deliver the Israelites from the oppression of the Romans. And he is seeing himself in prison and he's wondering, so what's going on? If he is the Messiah, why am I here in prison? Jesus sent John's disciples back to him, Luke 7, verse 22, and he uses Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 to describe how he is fulfilling the work of the Messiah. It is because the picture of John seeing Jesus as the Messiah didn't necessarily include Jesus going to the cross, paying on the cross for the sins, because he saw, or he thought, that the king that will come will be victorious king in his mind, defeating the Romans. But John was not the only one. Think about Peter. Matthew 16, I'm not reading the quotes, but you can take notes and read them on your own. But in Matthew 16:16, Peter confessed that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the anointed one. And it's right there, Matthew 16, verse 22, when after Jesus have told his disciples what he will suffer and going to the cross, he said, "This shall not happen to you." So he thought Jesus is the Christ, but it's not possible that the Christ will suffer and die. Because again, they have an idea that Christ will just come and defeat the power of the Roman Empire and give the Israelites back and standing as rulers. But Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, because he came to deal not with a worldly empire, with a physical problem, but he came to deal with the biggest problem of humanity. Sin. S-I-N. Sin. He came to deal with the separation between God and humanity because of our sin. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away of the sin of the world, fulfilling what was said, what we read in Genesis 22, fulfilling that type of Jesus in the Old Testament. When we talk about God providing a sacrifice and Abraham not having to kill his son Isaac, he's coming to fulfill what he was said about in Exodus 12:3-13, that the Israelites will put the blood on the dentils of their house, and the angel of death will pass over their homes. He came to fulfill the whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament, because it was all about Jesus. It was not about those animals that were sacrificed, as we learn in the book of Hebrews. The real sacrifice was Jesus. How he could take away the sin of the world? He take away the sin of the world because in going to the cross, he takes our place there. You've heard this so many times, and I have said this so many times, and you should never feel born of hearing this again. He took your place on the cross. He bare the wrath of God on the cross, on your place. He received the punishment that you and I deserved on the cross, so that his righteousness could be transferred to you, and God the Father could see you as righteous. Based on your merits? No. That's why Jesus needed to take flesh. Remember, the Eternal One, the one in communion with God, God who took flesh, because God who is holy and righteous have to punish sin, and we are all sinners, and only through a perfect Lamb we could be saved. Nobody can take Jesus' place. Nobody can be the Lamb of God in the world, because we are all broken sheep. We are all sinners. But Jesus, who is perfect, took our place on the cross, and he became the Lamb of God. Do you think that this is the most beautiful news that you have ever heard in your life? Think about of all the good news that you have heard. Maybe you got a scholarship. Maybe your wife is pregnant. Or you have, I don't know, so many wonderful news that you can hear in life. But there is no better news that you can hear than Jesus can take away the sin from you. Only Jesus can do that. But John continues to reveal a little bit more about Jesus in these verses. He says in verse 30, "This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." What John is saying basically is, John the Baptist is repeating what John the Evangelist said at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was in the beginning. And John is saying, I might be a little bit older than Jesus. I may have started my ministry before Jesus started his ministry, but Jesus ranked before me. Remember that John's ministry, you know what's John's ministry? John's ministry was to tell people, I am not the Christ, and nobody, and just a voice. Look at the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. And he's doing that because he knows his place very well. He knows that he didn't rank before Jesus and he didn't came before Jesus. He knew that Jesus was eternal and John was just a slave, a servant of Christ. So Jesus, or John, is revealing another thing about Jesus, or reaffirming another thing about Jesus, which is that Jesus is eternal. But also, John is affirming something that is very important about Jesus, and it's what we learned in verse 33. I myself don't know him, but he who sent me to baptize, that this is God, with water, said to me, him whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. What was John's baptism's purpose? It was to prepare people to hear the good news that the Messiah has come. It was a baptism of preparation. But John's baptism could not get inside people's heart. It was only superficial. It was only in the body. John is saying that Jesus comes baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, some churches, charismatic churches, I would say at least back in Latin America, I remember they were always talking about like a second work of the Holy Spirit, which is like you are become a Christian, and later on, if you are able to speak in tongues, then you will be, it is because you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. But the truth is that you cannot become a Christian unless you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually regeneration. It is the Holy Spirit descending on you, changing your heart, giving you new life in Christ, enabling you to see the truth of the gospel, enabling you to see Christ. And this happened through Christ. This is why Christ is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Remember, what's the goal of what we're hearing here is that, are you falling in love in Jesus more and more by hearing these things? He's the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. He is the eternal one, and though he was the eternal one, he decided to take flesh. And he is the one who has given you first life, because remember, from the beginning of the book of John, he created everything that exists, and he is now also giving you new life in Christ. And I have seen, he says in verse 34, and I bore witness that this is the Son of God. Basically, John is reaffirming again what John the Baptist is reaffirming again what John the Evangelist had said before. He proved in verse 1 that he was with God and that he was God. But when you read verse 14 as well, you see the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father. This testifies that Jesus fulfills the Son of God in the sense of, we think about Adam, we think about Israel and David. They were all types of Jesus in the Old Testament as sons of God. But they were all imperfect sons of God, because Jesus is the perfect Son of God. But also this testifies that when we see Jesus, we see God's glory, because Jesus is God. If you remember what we studied last week, also, John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, here John the Baptist is quoting Isaiah 43, and that passage is in reference to Yahweh. Jesus is God. That's what John says when he says, I bore witness that this is the Son of God. Now think about then all these things that we are learning about Jesus from John the Baptist, at least today. That Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that Lamb of God is God who took flesh in order to become the Lamb of God to save us from our sins, to give his own life for you so you could be saved. This is the eternal one, the only God who gave his life to save you from your sins. That if you are seated here today and you trusted in Jesus, it is because he gave you his Spirit. It's because he has baptized you with the Spirit. It's because you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and now today you are alive in Christ. All this Jesus have done for you. Otherwise, you will not be seated here with faith, trusting in Jesus. You can be seated here without faith, that's true. But if you have faith in Jesus, it's only because Jesus did a surgery in your heart, a spiritual surgery. He gave you a new heart. And that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all this is done by God for you. Will that move you to love Jesus more than anything? Think about this. God, Creator, He did all this for you to save you. I think that that should move our hearts to love Jesus, to praise Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to give Him thanks for all He has done. But I also think that this should move us to serve Jesus. And what is the best way to serve Jesus? Is to do what John did. To be the voice. To be the servant. To go out and tell our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our schoolmates, our co-workers, behold the Lamb of God who can take away your sin if you trust in Him for salvation. If you know that this is what people need the most, you will never be in their presence and be quiet, because you know that that's the only hope that we have in this life. Praise Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you send your only Son. You send our Lord Jesus to become the Lamb of God, to take away our sins. We thank you that we have been forgiven, no, because we deserve forgiveness, but because of your grace and mercy and love and compassion. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made people like us who are still in great need of your grace, instruments of your grace. Help us, Lord, to bear testimony that our Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we pray, Lord, this moment also for those we know we love that still don't know you. We pray that you will baptize them with the Holy Spirit, that they will trust in you for salvation as well, and that they will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.